small agenda. And let's see how far we can get.
Okay.
So, well, the first thing is that last time I left early. So, what, you know, do you have any other discussion apart from?
I guess we did, and I think we also have an audio recording of that.
Oh, okay.
I think the Ariel was basically describing to me this right model, and to me and Jason and. It got fairly complex discussion with all the I think you were also there until that point, but
mm-hmm.
I think afterwards you were describing this history based calculation of alpha,
right?
Based and that seemed like a reasonable idea to me. The question is, what sort of model we're going to end up with for alpha? I don't know if you thought about that further, or
I thought about that further.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I
don't know. What did you discuss about the calculation of alpha last time?
Well, the various factors that are influencing alpha, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like, first I presented like a stream of IOs.
Okay.
As a sequence of reads and writes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, through this window, we're going to filter only the write requests.
Mm-hmm.
The question then was,
right.
How about the reads? Are they going to influence the write behavior?
Okay.
I mean, response time in the end, what do we care? And I think at that point, I said we're not considering that the reads at all, and we are assuming that they have no influence
right.
in the write, which may not be true.
Mm.
But
how can the reads change the behavior of the writes?
In terms of latencies,
Oh, okay. So I see. So the assumption is that we have the SSD to write alone. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we don't have to wait for any reads complete. Is that right?
Yes, and especially I guess in the case where there's NCQ available and you may have this outstanding request. In a way, we can say that this model is just a single queue. I mean,
that's true,
like
yeah.
a single element in a queue.
The same kind of
model.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
But even we also discussed the other influence of reads, because it depends on the cleaning algorithm. If your cleaning algorithm is triggered based on idle time,
mm-hmm.
then
last second,
then your reads can influence the cleaning algorithm. If you have reads or you don't have reads, will determine whether you have idle time or no,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you have idle time, maybe cleaning will be triggered. If no idle time, maybe no cleaning. So
okay,
depends on
I
the
see.
Class of cleaning algorithm.
I see. So it seems like having reads or no is part more than this model is like the second part of the model, talking about how cleaning happens. In time, right? Because, you know, I'm assuming that we know some number or the number of clean pages that you have in the SSD, right? But so we are filling those pages, but at some point somebody has to take them back,
right.
And we are not modeling that part.
Oh, I see. So these are two separate models.
These are two separate models.
Which we do not need to mix together.
Exactly.
They can actually be developed separately and then combined later on.
Exactly. Right.
So then the history that you're looking at is just the sequence of writes since the previous cleaning.
Since the previous cleaning. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
because,
exactly.
You know, that window will... I mean, if you have some idle time, the window will go or will close, right?
If you did cleaning, right?
If you're doing cleaning, exactly.
So if you then say that my
alpha
is going to depend on the sequence of writes, but these are only the writes
mm-hmm.
since the previous cleaning
right.
occurrence, and then you're fine.
Okay. So I have some ideas regarding that part.
Mm-hmm.
So, but let me discuss first because I found some problems with alpha, right? So, okay, so one thing is that, one thing we said is that, okay, now this alpha will depend on how random is the workload in this window,
mm-hmm.
right? Which size would be the size of the other provisions, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But the thing is that I was thinking, I was having this idea. So what happened if you, I mean, you could have a really random workload, right? But the working set is small,
mm-hmm.
right? So you can be accessing, you know, a small working set randomly, and it will be random. But actually, if the working set is small, then you could have some kind of switch merge,
mm-hmm.
because you're actually overwriting always the same data, right?
You won't have switch merge. You will have fewer full merges.
But
you can have switch merge only if you're doing sequential I/O.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that even if you have a small working set, right, and you access that small working set randomly,
mm-hmm.
you will most likely have, at the end, you will have blocks, complete blocks, which pages are all, dead data, which is not used, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is, in some sense, some kind of switch merge, because you only need to do erasure. You don't need to do full merge.
Well, erasure is not
yeah.
the same as switch merge. With switch merge, you have another block with exactly the same sequence of pages,
mm-hmm.
and you change the pointer of the block.
Right.
Here you're saying, well, I have invalid blocks.
Right.
I have a more number of invalid blocks that
right.
I can erase directly.
Exactly. But
right.
in
so
terms
that's,
of...
That's going to influence the... in some sense, the alpha, which will tell you whether you need to do a merge at all.
Right.
It's you don't need a switch or a full merge. You just
need
an
erase.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, the thing is that I was thinking of this model. In the previous case, I was modeling the switch merge
mm-hmm.
as being alpha zero, right? Because you have sequential writes all the time. And actually, I would say that both cases, either small working set or having a sequential workload, in both cases, actually, the operation will be the same. Is that you only have to do a erasure,
mm-hmm.
one erasure, right?
No, that's not correct, because you have to... reclaim, you're not doing any switch operation at all. You don't
right.
do switch.
Hmm?
When you do a switch merge, you say, well, the data block,
mm-hmm.
which was originally here, is now here. Because the log block is,
right.
you're making a log block, a data
okay.
block. Because the
so,
log
okay,
block has
okay.
the same sequence.
So what you're saying is that actually in the small working set case, you don't even have to update the pointer, but you just erase. Right?
It depends on what is it that you're trying to time. If you're trying to time, for instance, a write latency, and you have, let's say, invalid blocks, then to perform the write operation, you don't need to do any merge at all. You just do erase and write.
Erase and write, exactly.
So alpha becomes zero.
Exactly.
In the case of when you have this small repeated
exactly.
accesses, right?
Exactly.
So we did talk about locality a little bit towards the end in our previous discussion. What happens if you're doing random accesses, but you have locality in your random accesses?
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
What if you access the same block? Data block, and the page is within the same data block,
mm-hmm.
but in a different sequence than it is sequential.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. That's exactly
and
so what I'm saying is that in both cases, the alpha will be the same, right? Or you want alpha to be the same.
Well, the alpha may be small in the case of low locality, not necessarily zero.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because you
Absolutely.
Might have to do a small
well,
amount of merging.
Okay, so I think we agree. So let me have, because I wrote some equations. So
it is. Yeah, whatever you want.
Okay. So what I was thinking is that, okay, in that case, then alpha would be something like this, right? Mm-hmm. Alpha would be composed by two things. So the first one is the randomness of the words, right? That I define as, and this is more or less based on how we calculate the randomness in Borg, which is the number of six divided by the number of operations you do, right? Which in this case is U, saying that U is this window of operations, right? And the other component, and this is a multiplication, right? Because
why do you say it's an AND?
Let me see. Because I don't know exactly, but the thing is that
what I would do is I would say some factor, let's say k times this.
Okay.
Plus 1 minus k times another factor. So there's the relative weight of this and the relative weight of this.
Okay.
The total weight has to be 1.
Right.
Right. So you could weight that by some... That's one way, but go ahead. Maybe
so
you
what
have
I,
different ideas.
Yeah, exactly. What I did was to make this equal to this. And the other factor is the working set size, right? Working set size divided by U as well.
So alpha is directly proportional to the number of seeks. So if you have more number of seeks, you have greater alpha. And if you have a greater working set size, you have a greater alpha.
Exactly.
If you have zero seeks, then alpha is zero.
If you have zero seeks, then it's sequential, right?
Yeah.
So if you your working set size is very small, then the seek doesn't matter much.
If the working set size is 1, then your alpha should be 0 in some sense. Working set size?
Not necessarily, because you could have a big working set, which is all sequential.
If it's all sequential, then the number of, since you have a multiplicative factor, the number of
seeks
is 0. First factor is 0 and alpha is 0.
You can think about this.
Yeah.
I know, because I come up with this morning.
Yeah, this makes
have
sense.
Time to,
I mean, you need to further develop this to make it, for instance, what do you call that?
The working set is big. This will be 1. But this will be... But this makes sense, right? What was the problem again?
With the multiplicative factor?
This is sequential, and it's big, this will be 0.
Yeah. What, so if the number of seeks is equal to the number of...
It would be something like... the number of seeks will be... You increase by 1 if you have a jump from one page.
This I think is good. I think it's a good model for alpha, at least initially.
Yeah.
It seems like a good model for alpha.
Exactly. So in these two, you're weighting, if you have the working set size, and you're also weighting how random is your data.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, though, that using U is in a way difficult, because you do not really know when the last cleaning was, and you don't know when the cleaning instance has happened.
Yeah, that's true. So what you're saying is that this U is actually a function that depends on...
Yeah. But one thing which you could do, for instance, is to just say alpha is equal to some percentage of sequentiality or fraction of sequentiality times the relative working set size, working set fraction of the disk.
Mm-hmm.
Right, working set, not fraction of the disk, but working set divide, working set.
Yeah, one part of the
So what is this working set divided by
yeah.
U? In some sense, what you can approximate that by just saying
working set.
Working set.
So the calculation of the working set is just that you have to
take some
overlap, you know, or take all the pages that are the same and reduce that number in the total view.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So
and do that for all the pages. Yeah.
Sort
okay.
of uniqueness.
Yeah.
Uniqueness,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah. Okay.
And so you can approximate this unique fraction of unique axes and fraction of sequential axes, or you can have an exponential averaging of that,
mm-hmm.
and then you can basically have alpha
mm-hmm.
without having to know U. Was the point?
Okay.
So you can say, well, U in the alpha would be something like this, but
mm-hmm.
since it is not easy to model U, or
mm-hmm.
is it not easy to derive U, we can approximate it with this, where S is the sequentiality, actually I should say randomness, inversely proportional to sequentiality, but this is the randomness
mm-hmm.
fraction, and this is the uniqueness.
What do you mean by
fraction?
By that? Random?
It's sort of percentage of random axes. It's a percentage of random axes, right?
Right. But how do you calculate that?
Just like this. But for instance,
okay.
if you maintain a history of
mm-hmm.
this information, right?
Okay.
You can always do some sort of have recent history and past history and so on and do averaging over time to get this value.
Okay.
Just like we did ranking of pages, remember, with
mm-hmm.
when we are doing excess
mm-hmm.
with time-based exponential averaging, we can
okay.
do
oh, I see.
The
okay.
same way for these two.
Okay.
And this is realistic to do because then you can
yeah.
model this.
I was also thinking about introducing but I don't know exactly how to make alpha a function of time somehow. So in alpha could be, somehow related to king as well, right? Something like I don't know exactly how to.
Yeah, I mean, in some sense, what we are saying is that alpha of t is
mm-hmm.
equal to some r of t at time t.
Mm-hmm.
times u at time t, right?
Right, exactly.
So because, and these change over time.
Right. Yeah, of course. Okay.
This makes sense. I don't know if there is a factor that we are missing in this equation, but certainly seems very reasonable.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, so, okay, so I will think about this. So the other thing I did was to think about this last time, I don't know if you remember the details of the model,
mm-hmm.
but I had this term called blockful merge, right, which was alpha times
mm-hmm.
The number of pages times
mm-hmm.
blockful merge, because you have to do a full merge for each one blockful merge for each page in a block.
Right.
So I was thinking about what you were saying, right? That actually you cannot assume that there are clean pages.
Mm.
So as we discussed last time, I think we can assume safely that you have at least one clean page.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You can have less than one clean page, otherwise you can lose data in the case of a power failure. So I just realized that taking all that into account, the only thing that changed in the full block merge that I had before and now
mm.
is that actually you need to add only one additional E-rate.
Just
one more E-rate for each page.
For each page.
Right. So now, because what happened? Now, if you have this page, you do a full merge, right? You write in this clean page and you erase the data block.
And use that to
and use that for the next one. Exactly.
Yeah.
So the idea is that after you go through all the pages, you will have the victim clean and the additional one clean. So you will have at the end two clean pages, which will allow you to write.
Correct.
So that's what I'm assuming as the worst case.
Makes sense. Okay. You can say that this depends on the how the what do you call that the device policy is set up.
Mm-hmm.
If the device policy is such that it needs at least a fixed number of clean blocks, so each write operation will at most result in one erase operation.
Mm-hmm.
Right, then here is my block full merge, in which case I don't need this additional page.
Yeah, makes sense.
And then we can say device policy. We can model the device policy also, and that way we can have flexibility.
Yeah, but I'm not sure. Actually, after thinking this, even in that case, I think you have to wait for one erasure because
you have to wait for just one.
No, you have to wait for one erasure per page because.
No, if you have all clean pages for all the block merges for each page in your pool of clean pages always,
right?
Then you don't need to erase per page.
Right, but the problem is that if you want to guarantee that number of clean
pages,
blocks or
layers,
pages, you need to wait for an erasure.
Yeah, we did speak about that. Yeah, I forgot about
that. Right? So that's actually the problem, and that's why we end up with this model.
It's a good point.
So, so I think it makes sense. Right? Okay, so we'll think about it. That's what I have for the model now. So I don't know. Any comments about this?
No, I think this is good. I think we need to start writing something.
Yeah.
To put in the paper.
Okay.
I mean, collect all our ideas so far and make them concrete. Because so far, if it's only in notebook and head, there is no motivation to organize it.
Okay.
So, but if you're forced to put it in the paper, then you're forced to also logically connect all the dots.
Okay.
And it's easier to provide feedback on top of that, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Kind of the final write-up. And that's what we want to show.
That's right. So, and we have a model for the read latency, right? We have now similar model for the write latency, and that makes this paper complete.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the other thing I want to discuss, I think that's for now. So I guess, we have to. Now we have to, I think it's mostly complete. Probably I have to work on the cleaning part.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's important, right, to complete the model. And after that, I think we have to somehow validate the model.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that will happen, but yeah, we have to do that. Okay, so, So the other thing is that I want to talk about the experiments that I have been doing so far.
Mm-hmm.
So just to update, right? So last time we talked about this was that I was having these problems. It was a long time back. I was having these problems that I have just burst of requests, right? So after that, I resolved this problem by doing some modifications to. I think I probably will talk about this, but
I'm
doing the meeting. So I modified the kernel, right? The configurations in compilation to make it more responsive, right? So now you have your time slice is smaller. So now you have a more interactive kernel, and I also
fixed the D2C time.
I also, yeah, that's your part. But in the kernel, I was able to send as many requests as the memory size allowed. Right? So now I don't have a restriction in the number of outstanding requests I could have, but rather I just send as much as the memory, as fits in the memory of the kernel.
So what did you fix to get that working?
Yeah, the only thing I was missing was a flag in the malloc, in the kernel malloc. So I don't remember what I had before, but the thing is that there's this flag that says no fail, which means that it doesn't matter what you do, it doesn't matter if you sleep, but at some point you need to have that memory. It doesn't matter how much time you sleep, you should have that memory at some point. So what happened is that you start doing requests, you fill memory of requests, and at some point you don't have more memory. So the next one, the kernel will make it sleep automatically till you have enough memory to continue.
Okay.
So, right, so that's the way it works. Okay, so after that I was working and see if the times that we were getting, right, because the problem is that the experiments doesn't show any pattern, right? It's just, actually it's just a constant time, mostly. It's more or less like 2 milliseconds for writing, and that's all. So I was trying to see why that is happening and how exactly the D2C gathering of information works.
So before you proceed, I already described the solution and problem to these guys last week.
Oh, okay, good.
So we can skip over that.
Okay, so after all that, okay, that's good. So after all that, I did the modifications. We did that. I think you didn't know this. So I did the modification to take this into account.
Mm.
And actually what I did was to, instead of doing an additional VTstat, I just added an option.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, to get these block traits, I use these device drivers. So do it the right way.
Okay.
So it turns out that it gives me mostly the same results, but the numbers now are lower.
Mm.
So that's a change. Yeah, it makes sense. Also, I found that before, at least the average times were the same, because I'm taking VTstat, I think, into account this overlapping of these NCs.
Mm.
So it was doing the right thing, at least in the average numbers. But in the detail, which is the one that is important for us here, it just gets a little bit lower. So now, instead of around 2 milliseconds, more or less, the request time.
The request latency is 2 milliseconds always?
Always.
Even without the initial, you said initially there was some difference? And
initially it has the same result. You have these initial 26, 25 requests that are very low. Very low.
Mm-hmm.
And after that you start doing weird stuff. Yeah.
So now, do you have randomness in those times, or it's very close? All the times are pretty close.
No, actually, are quite close, I should say. Actually, we can see them if you want.
Sure, yeah.
In the wiki?
No, actually, it's not in the wiki. I prefer you to connect to my machine so we can explore the data live.
Yeah.
Apple, yeah. Minus X to connect to.
Oh, yeah.
Luis at. Okay, so you need to remove that entry because I changed my key. Okay.
You want to come back?
Probably.
Maybe I'll go there and you can show.
Oh, you have your. Wireless?
No, well, something wrong happened with my wireless keyboard.
Probably it's the battery.
No, the battery is not the problem. It had sticky keys, so at once they will print like 100 of them.
Okay, so this is the data This is for sequential. You remember that we talked about doing sequential?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I found this problem. It's a tricky problem. So the thing is that if you send sequential, then the scheduler merges. So at the end, you won't have what you want, which is one after the other sequential, right?
Mm.
So you said no plug or something?
No, even with the no plugging, it's the merging part. So I don't know how to avoid that. Because you send one request and asynchronously send the next one.
Mm.
So that will make the scheduler to merge them.
Mm.
And so,
you won't have... So is there a way that you can set up the scheduler not to merge?
I don't know. I'm using no-op, so...
I'm guessing that, well, it must not be a configurable option, but you can probably recompile the kernel to not do the merging, right?
Yeah.
That's one possibility.
But you mean by configuring the kernel, or...?
No, not configuring the kernel, but changing the code to where it does the merge to not do the merge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess that's
where,
one.
Yeah, just remove the part where there's check if front or back merge,
mm-hmm.
and then merge, you remove that code.
Yeah,
right?
That would make all the machine run very slow, so. Okay.
That's one possibility.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's a good thing about working with open source.
Okay, so this doesn't work?
Good thing for experimentation, but not for software developer providers.
Yeah.
For software providers in general, because you can pick the configuration however you want, but then they cannot guarantee that their software is going to run.
That's true, yeah.
Okay, so let me see if I have it. So, okay. If I do new plot, plot detail. Too many axes.
Too many axis sticks there. There's too many points. That's what it's saying.
I have plotted this before.
You have?
Okay, let me repeat this back again.
I should do capital X instead of small x.
Driver.
Fiddle X11 plugging in.
Yeah, computers are not allowed to off to work. Yeah, so that, I don't know.
Can you set terminal type to something else?
Yeah, maybe.
So terminal.
What are the options?
Terminal for like.
Just say set terminal. It's without the help.
I guess we can do it in English. There's nothing else with X.
JPEG.
Yeah.
Let's see what that works. Let's see.
Xlib.
I think they are both. They might be connected though.
Okay. This is weird. Yeah, okay. Anyway, so okay.
You might have to set output to something. JPG. Yes. No?
No.
Not with E.
With an E?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Send output JPG. There you are.
Fine. That's fairly varied then. A lot of variance.
You mean like the Arabic?
No, here.
No, between 0 and 0.0.
Oh, okay. Yeah, actually, this is in seconds.
Substantial
variance. This is in seconds, so
yeah,
I forgot to convert in milliseconds.
We cannot zoom in, right? I mean.
No, that's what I want to do, actually. We cannot.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
the thing is that here in this small part.
Maybe we can. We need. I mean, this is not easy to work with. Maybe we can go to your machine and look at
it. Yeah, sure.
It's gonna be easier than going to this cycle.
Yeah.
So people have like small range maybe data then maybe better.
Yeah, but then if you want to go to another range then we need to go through the whole process again. That's the problem.
And I also need this friend for 8K. Yeah, just because it's 4K.
Okay.
4K request, so we're trying to fill quickly,
and
exactly the same result. So
I see.
The next guy.
This is SSD, is this?
No.
Okay.
I also tried Samsung, but it didn't work. No.
Okay. Ubuntu?
No, it's something else. Sorry, anyway, yeah, I'm trying weird things. Oh. Okay, so this is the thing.
Can we look at the initial part?
Sure. Let's try it.
Problem of nodes.
So yeah. So some more.
Okay, so this that value is what is that value? How much is that?
This is 25. 25.
Yeah.
0.00. Yeah. What you can think? 0.001 seconds. Yeah. So let me
convert to microseconds.
Yeah.
Milliseconds.
So probably now I'm thinking that probably this could be the cache, right? Because it's 0.1 milliseconds.
0.1 milliseconds is 100
microseconds.
Could be the cache, but these are random writes. Oh, you.
So random writes, but at the
but they are buffered.
But they
are being buffered.
The first request could be buffered, right?
Mm-hmm. 25 times 4k is 100k. Would that be the size of the cache?
No.
What happens when you do 8K? Do you have 25 or you have fewer? That would be interesting to find out.
Okay, let's see. Even if I have them, because I have in my laptop. So. Let's see what I have in 04. That's right. Okay, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me think here. Probably this will take longer because I think for this one I need more requests. Okay. Looks a lot, probably a lot less than the first.
Less very
random.
Could be because maybe there are 25 segments. There are 25 different segments to observe sequential.
For
25
okay.
Sequential streams.
Okay.
That could be another possibility.
That could be right. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Is it 25 exactly or?
25 exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so and then there are I/O requests all over the range, right? There is.
Yeah, but in the case of 8K, how can you reset here? So in the 4K.
Let's look at 4K. I think let's focus on 4K
okay.
For now.
Okay. So okay. So what I was saying is that these cases, right? You see, these rare cases that we have afterwards. So this is 1, 2.
How many are there?
4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Actually, it's not actually present, right?
Shall we focus, let's say, on the first 100 or first 50, yeah, 50, let's say first 50? But there were some more points up there, right?
In the probably, yeah, I don't know.
Let's try to get all of them.
Okay, let me do PhD. Okay, let me...
Let's do first 100.
Strange.
0 to 100.
100. Good luck.
Okay.
Here. This is like, what? 15 milliseconds?
That's substantial, actually. 15 milliseconds, substantial, compared to disk IO. I mean, if you do random 4K write on a disk, you probably get much smaller latency
to 8
in
ridges.
The worst case.
Mm-hmm.
So 16 milliseconds could be what? I mean, what? There's certainly something else going on which is blocking the write, correct?
Right.
So, the other thing which you notice is that there is, so this is the first one, this is the second one, right, after the first 25, and then
this is the 27, this is the,
this is
the name.
27,
yeah.
So this is 26, right?
Right.
27, and then 28 onwards is again small latency.
Right. Yeah.
Well, actually, yeah. See, so this may be also going to cache.
Right.
Did you try that experiment where we overwrite the same block again and again?
Yeah. So actually, I think I got the same results. I don't have the results right.
You mean same results that the first 25?
I didn't check that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's,
or is
that's
that always, always? I mean, if it was always here, then it would explain.
Right.
If it's always here.
Right.
Because then everything is getting buffered. And that would also explain that this is actually buffering. If you look at the time,
I could have those resources left, let me see, because I think those are continuous length. So here, and you write overhead. Yeah. Yeah, I don't remember. Anyway, I don't remember. But yeah, I can check that. Okay. Because if you, what you're saying is that if that is a buffer, then for the same page you will have exactly the same time
and
all
and
the
right, and the time should be the same as what we see here for the first 25.
Right.
So that will confirm that the first 25 actually write buffer.
Right. Like
writes.
100 microseconds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's check that. Okay.
So this is the 8K or the 4K, the one that you
have? That's 8K.
8K. So let me close this for the time
mm-hmm.
being.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the 4K. And with 4K, so this is the first 100 requests, right?
Right.
And the worst time here is 16 milliseconds.
Just after.
15.5, whatever.
Yeah.
But if you look at the entire graph, there are some which are 100 and 200 microseconds also, right? The outliers. There are some of those.
You mean milliseconds?
Milliseconds, yes.
Yeah, I think so. If you go back?
No, you plot the range,
mm-hmm.
so you cannot go back.
Oh. It seems like the AK, but it's a little bit different.
So here we have.
Okay.
10,000, right? And there are some latencies which are 90 milliseconds.
90.
In the case of the 8K, I actually saw 250 milliseconds also.
Sorry?
Interesting. With the 8K,
mm-hmm.
I saw 250 milliseconds.
Mm-hmm. This is 250?
No, this is with 4K, 90 milliseconds. With 8K, it was 250 milliseconds.
Mm-hmm.
Outliers. Which is interesting because I would expect with the 8K to have smaller worst case latencies because we have more sequentiality.
Mm-hmm.
that was interesting.
But why? Why? I mean, how can you have those outliers?
I mean, if you have this worst case cleaning overhead,
right?
Then you can have that once in a while, where you need to clean a lot of pages before you can write.
Right. Good.
And you need to erase a lot of pages.
Yeah, which is a lot of milliseconds. If you 64 pages, then you have 2 milliseconds.
Or it could also be that during those times is when the garbage collector actually runs and cleans several pages.
Mm.
Right? And then writes have to block at that.
Yeah, but I would think that even if a cleaning is happening, the SSD won't delay the request for the cleaning, right? I mean, it will try to go ahead and write it right away.
It could or it could not. I mean, I think it depends on the implementation of the cleaning, right?
Mm-hmm.
If the firmware just has an stupid algorithm that if there is cleaning going on,
mm-hmm.
I do not serve with any request at all.
Okay.
Then.
For some.
It's simpler to do that, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you do programming.
Absolutely.
Because what if the block that you're cleaning to, the page that you're cleaning is the one that's being written into?
Right.
And you need to address all kinds of synchronization
right.
issues. It's just easier to block. Remember our work with Borg and XS, right? It's the same issue inside the firmware.
Mm-hmm.
How about the alignment of the requests?
You
issue it like a
4K. So, yeah, exactly. I'm aligning 4K. Because what I'm saying is that I divide the SSD in 4K segments,
mm-hmm.
and I select random segments rather than blocks.
Like,
yeah. Well, and in the case of 8K, it's the same, right? I mean, segments of 8K.
Speak a random stretch here and see what happens.
All of them seem to be in the range of 100 microseconds at least.
A lot of them are in the 100 microsecond range.
Yeah. So I think
some of them are in the 200, and the remaining, I shouldn't say most of them 100. I would say maybe it seems like maybe 20% are in the 1 or 10% of the requests are in 100 microseconds. The majority are between 100 microseconds and let's say, I don't know, 2 milliseconds or 3 milliseconds.
Yeah, in fact, this dispatch report. Okay, I have the numbers here, but so reports this RSTGC
1.8
per request.
Mm-hmm.
Which is 4K. All of them are 4K.
Mm-hmm. So this is for random. Is it sequential or random?
This is random.
Okay.
So they're random.
Do you have one for sequential?
Yeah, I have it. You know, it's because of the merging, it's not very...
Oh, I see. Okay.
Not very informative.
I see. Okay, so...
So it's, you know, it's just... Actually, let me analyze.
Mm-hmm.
Very quickly. Attention. So you see, you have a big merge radio there.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, it doesn't report sequentiality. I have to check that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the thing is that you have, you know, 700 or 800 requests, while here you have 10,000 almost.
Sequentiality is 87.5% in the upper case?
Yeah.
Isn't that random request?
Those are random, but remember that in 4K, you have A blocks accessed sequentially.
Oh, you're doing block level. Per block,
of course, yeah.
I see.
I mean, I'm sending 4K requests, but those are account of sequential accesses because you are
eight sequential
versus one that you go to the next page.
I see.
So.
Okay.
In this case, it should be 100%, right?
In this case, not 100, but I would say close. Probably I'm having some division by zero and error happening. That's why it's not reporting. But yeah, it should be very close to 100. Or it should be 100, actually, because you're accessing one after the other.
So there is some plugging going on also, right? Plug time and you report.
Also. Yeah, actually, we actually have some time. I think
so. Can you plot that sequential thing?
What do you mean? Like the details?
Mm-hmm. Just like we did for the.
Okay. Let me see. But the details will be a lot smaller because you had 800
requests only. Okay.
Yeah. So
that's fine.
Let's
do it.
That's
interesting. They're all in the 4 millisecond range.
Yeah. The average is 1 millisecond. What is that?
Doesn't make sense.
It makes sense. 1 millisecond should be. What sense is it? Yeah, well, actually, it makes sense. It says that the total time of the experiment was this, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the total D2C time, the total DC time, this time.
Mm-hmm.
So the DC time divided by the number of requests is more like this.
Mm-hmm. So the number of requests are 8K.
Say that again?
The number of requests are 8K?
Yeah.
But here...
The number of requests...
The D2C times are 16 times 8K, right? In the D2C that you get? Because the requests are merged?
The requests are merged, right.
Does that impact the D2C time? Per IO? Per IO? Because if when you do per IO, do you look at the D2C IOs or the IOs that you issued?
The D2C, the D2C, issue, right.
The D2C IOs, because you issued many more than the D2C issue.
In the queue, right, but I'm accounting the Ds, which is the results of emerging and the whole operating system operation.
So there is some weird behavior.
Yeah, there is some problem here. So, I don't know, it could be that some requests are pulling down the... This makes sense.
No, they cannot pull down. Right?
The average? Yeah.
Unless they...
Okay.
Unless... I guess they could if they are really large requests.
Mm-hmm.
If they are really large requests, then they could pull it down. Otherwise, no.
That's true. Yeah. But, well...
Okay, but each one is...
They have to be really, really large requests.
Because
most of them are up there.
If I go in here, okay, it says that in the detail, the mean time is
3.8
of seconds, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's in, you know, that's calculating the average of the details,
mm-hmm.
which is different calculation of the digit stuff.
Shouldn't they be the same?
Not always, because that depends. It should be the same in this case, I think. I have to check that. But if you have, for instance, NCQ, then they should be different.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing, so here... Yeah, you have one outstanding request at a time.
Okay, so maybe you can check the code to see what's going on with that. So the you said that you also did the experiment with the same writing the same thing.
Yeah, but I don't have the results. At least I'm not sure.
Okay.
If I have those results, so yes, I have to review this thing.
Okay. So about the random, is it? What did we expect from the random graphs? I think we should also first look at the other derives.
So yeah,
let's
absolutely.
Get the let's say random, sequential, but sequential without the merging, if we can, right? And we might have to patch
it. Yeah. Okay. Kernel, okay.
Right. And then same request repeatedly for
that's
the three different drives.
I think this is a yeah, this is a custom kernel, so I can
for three different drives and.
Okay.
Then we can see what are the commonalities across these.
Okay.
And that will give us some
yeah.
further direction.
I will also try to increase the size of the request and see if I see some kind of decrease in the response or increase in the response time.
Yeah. But I think at this point you can, you probably want to first work on getting these three different types
okay.
of patterns.
Okay.
For the three different drives, so we can see if there are some common
commonalities.
For 4K. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's
I'll
try
do
to
it.
Understand the 4K behavior, and then
okay.
we can understand the other.
So before we go, so what are we meeting this Friday?
This Friday, yeah. Actually, this Friday is me. I'm going to be busy with. With Zohar and all
okay.
all day.
So okay, so we can yeah, we can meet next week.
We can meet on let's say Monday or
okay.
or Tuesday.
No, I mean Tuesday. Monday.
Tuesday is fine.
Yeah, Tuesday.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, there is as well the problem with the cache. We,
mm-hmm.
In all the cases, is it enable or to it?
Actually, I found that HTFarm, at least for these drivers, for some reason is not disabling the cache because I did experiments with the cache. And without the cache, and gave me exactly the same result.
Which means not working.
Which means not working, yeah. And
which
I think actually was
fine.
Was the experiment, maybe it was the experiment of writing to the same block again and again, gave me exactly the same result in both cases. So,
yeah.
So I'm assuming that, right
in
now, I'm just
that
assuming that the cache is enabled or not all the time.
Okay, well, then. Let's meet next week then.
Okay.